listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Now, if a bitch sucks your dick for $5 per square inch and gets $40, including the $5 tip, how big was the dick she just sucked? Say what? Say how big was the dick she just sucked?
I don't know.
If you a nigga with a watch that's iced out with enough rocks to make the hottest room temperature drop, how long will it take for you to get robbed? Say what? How long will it take before you get robbed? What? Now, if your song played on the radio for the first time 4 days ago, now the shit is rotational, who got paid off for you to play it? I ain't scared to say it. Who the fuck got paid off to play it? Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Confused. I'm Karen.
We're in the house on a Monday. Monday, which is, you know, the day after Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm.
The day after Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. We just reviewed that last night at like 1 a.m. for all the premium folks.
Yep.
Hope you appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
but we appreciate everybody who took time out to listen to it.
Yes,
and
we do.
Who enjoys that and sends in feedback and all that stuff. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 509 that Bobby Shmurda has been locked up in jail. That bail still at that $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, yesterday was Mother's Day, or as I like to call it, the day that everybody wishes Karen happy Mother's Day.
yes, I guess I'm to the point where I'm just tired of awkward explaining. So when anybody wishes me happy Mother's Day, I just go, okay, thank you. I just keep it pushing. Cause it was like, yeah, no, I'm not, you know, and it makes them feel awkward. I'm fine with it, but you know, they look all strange and crazy, like, oh, I'm sorry. And
yeah, the cashier yesterday, let me tell the story. The guy was like, happy Mother's Day. Oh no, he said, y'all having a good Mother's Day? And Karen said, yes. And then I said, you got kids?
What?
Real loud.
Right. And I looked at him, I said, you got kids?
And I wasn't the one that said yes, you were, so you the one obligated to explain. But then he said, well, y'all both got mothers, and I was like, touche, cashier man.
Yeah, I think we quite confused him, because me and Roger both looked at each other like, you got kids you ain't telling me about.
So that was cute. But that seems to be the thing every year. See, mm-hmm. How many people gonna wish Karen happy Mother's Day. Ironically, I don't really get wish happy Father's Day. I guess they just don't think black men out here taking care of their kids. I don't know why I don't get wish happy Father's Day.
But you know, it's one of them things where I'm not trying to be funny. A lot of mothers demand it, almost like, it's Mama's Day, y'all better do something. So, mm-hmm. You know, as children and shit, so kids grow up and everybody feels kind of obligated, where it's like, a mother always sacrifice, like fathers never sacrifice shit, but good fathers, fathers that are there, period, actually in their child's lives and want to be in their child's lives, they actually sacrifice too. But for some reason, fathers just don't give a shit. Not trying to be funny.
Well, I just still, I don't know if that's it. I just wonder, cause it doesn't care about it. I mean, when we're out, we're never with kids or nothing. They just assume you're a mom.
Yeah, they just
wish you happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, they assume we out without the kids, somebody babysitting them or something.
I don't know why what the math is. On
yeah,
shit.
I wish they would do it to fathers. I mean, because
no, I don't want them to do it. I'm just asking. I wonder why they don't.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying? Like, what is it that makes them, when they see, like, and is it all men or is it just like? Cause I only had the experience of being a black man, so. Do white men, do they be like, happy Father's Day, sir? And it's just like, I don't have any kids. Or, and then when they see black men, they like, I know your ass ain't take care of no kids. Anyway, what would you like to drink?
I really think it's just the social response to everything. Like, honestly, I think it's just the social response.
And race plays no part.
I'm not going to say race doesn't play a part.
Because I think race plays a part in why they wish you happy Mother's Day.
Oh, you do?
Mm. Same way. Okay. Same way when a black woman gets a job in corporate America, people assume she got kids.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
There's
a lot
of black women that are like, I don't have kids, but that's one of the first questions I get asked when I'm at work is, you know. So hey, you got, how old are your kids? Or you know, you, what are your little ones up to? It's like, motherfucker, we've never had a conversation before.
No,
I don't see no pictures of kids on my desk. Why are you assuming that? I think race does play a part.
True, that to an extent, yes. And I think people assume once you get to a certain age, you just have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just period. People just assume you just have children.
Okay.
You're quote unquote in the childbearing age for a lot of people. So, and I think that for women, particularly, that's the way to strike up a conversation. Like, literally, they like don't, that's that weather conversation where I don't really know what to talk to you about, so I talk to you about your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and the real thing is that I don't really give a fuck about your kids. I just want to use that excuse to talk about my kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where that conversation goes. But yeah,
but I mean, when somebody's your waitress, when somebody's your waitress, they definitely not thinking that. You know, when someone's checking out your groceries, they're not saying, "Oh, good, a conversation about my kids."
No,
they really be thinking they like, they think they talking to you. You know?
Yeah, and like I said, I think race plays a part, but I really think that's a societal thing where it's Mother's Day, so every woman you just wish her a happy Mother's Day.
Yeah,
like I said, they don't do it to fathers, so it's just in Father's Day they do the same promotion, but it's not the same. You know, for mothers it's all about her flowers, about her candies. They remind you fucking 6 months in advance that don't forget about your mama, but you don't never get to 6 months in advance don't forget about your daddy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Let's go ahead and get into all kinds of news that's happening, just random stuff. Speaking of Mother's Day, a malicious stepmom bullied a girl of 5 years old into accusing her natural mother of sexual abuse after making the child cry and refusing to give her sweets.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This makes no sense.
She forced the girl of 5 years old to make false sex abuse allegations against her natural mother. A girl told police in interviews that her mother had touched her, but only after she had been bullied and made to cry by her stepmother. Her stepmother told the child during a break in questioning that she would get no sweets if she failed to accuse her mother. The child made the allegation during her third intensive police interview in just over 24 hours, and only after steadfastly denying it for the first two and her mother had that her mother had done anything wrong. But the 26-year-old mother was arrested and forbidden from seeing her daughter for more than 9 months.
Shit!
Yesterday, the police interviews of the girl were condemned by the recorder, Carly Henley, who said they had been badly conducted and marred by the use of leading questions. She agreed with a social worker who said the interviews were not child-focused interviews, there being limited opportunity for the child to talk, and it was abusive to carry out all three interviews in respect to her five-year-old in what was effectively a little more than 24-hour period. Recorder Henley also said the claim of sex abuse by the girl had never been credible. Following the confession, the mother was arrested, interviewed, and bailed by police. Both the five-year-old and her two-year-old half-sister were taken from the mother, and the five-year-old was put onto a course of therapy. Even when police decided 3 months later that there would be no criminal charges, the mother was prevented from seeing the five-year-old. Wow. The police force has not been named by the family court, which can hear cases in secret, which often suppress the details of officials and authorities involved. Nor did the judgment by the recorder Henley indicate whether criminal prosecutions are against the stepmother and father are underway. However, the judge ruled that the girl should be removed from the home of her father and stepmother and go to live with the maternal grandmother under the supervision of Bury Council. Her mother can see her regularly without restrictions. So she still doesn't get her child back, because the child is going to the grandmother. So it sounds like once again, parents got in the way of a child's happiness. You know, the parents not getting along, the stepmother framing the mother.
Parents are assholes at times because
Happy Mother Day.
Right. The thing about it is that at the end of the day, it's about the children, and so many parents and step parents and everybody get involved, get wrapped up in their feelings and their emotions and how they feel and how you did them wrong and how they hate you and their revenge and using the children as ploys and then shit like that, or using the children as tools and chess pieces and shit like that. And the child just wants to be goddamn loved. And it's one of those things where people just need to mature, because that shit right there should never happen. She didn't do anything. So you basically framed this woman, had her children taken away from her, and basically she will never get them back in her custody.
Yep. The mother that caught her had a troubled history of mental health, which meant her daughter was living with her separated father and stepmother. However, the mother had made good recovery from her problems. The abuse claims against her were made last July. The judge said that following oppressive and leading questioning, the father and the stepmother manufactured a case that the girl had been sexually abused by her mother. The allegations and recordings of the girl being questioned aggressively by her stepmother were taken to police. Both the father and stepmother made statements to police. The girl was interviewed by police on August 1st and made no disclosure of any abuse by her mother. She was interviewed again the next morning and again made no disclosure. However, when she was brought back to the police station just under 2 hours after the second interview by her father and stepmother, and only then she said her mother had touched and hit her. So, man, that's wild.
Right, and y'all don't mess this child up for life.
Possibly.
Right.
So none of the children and adults were named in the news, but still, that's just that's some vengeful ass shit.
They need to be fucking thrown in jail, both of them.
Mm-hmm. Evil stepmom. Speaking of Mother's Day, other Mother's Day news, majority of women cheat the day after Mother's Day, according to AshleyMadison.com site statistics. Now, the problem with this is we found out through the hack last year, Ashley Madison doesn't really have that many women on it. Mm-mm. And a large majority of the women on there are just bots that keep the men occupied, but obviously you can't fuck those robots. So,
of course,
you know, it's all automated. So I don't know how reliable these numbers are, but
true.
They were saying that the numbers, you know what? No, I'm not going to report on this. Nope. Because their numbers were so fake last time mm-hmm. when they got hacked. And it's so fake. Can you really believe anything they say? Mm-mm. So, I don't know. Maybe women cheat after Mother's Day. Maybe they don't. It seems like one of those things where it would quote unquote make sense. But often just because something makes sense doesn't mean it's true. Like, people still might not do that. Washington Post published this article by Sarah Ackerman called Mother's Day is a holiday for wives, not single mothers, not single moms.
She's trying to set shit on fire.
She goes into, well, okay, so a lot of times people write these articles and then an editor picks the title. And I think releasing this on Mother's Day is a bit inflammatory,
right?
In my opinion.
Right, and the title is salacious just by itself. It's like, we're going to pick the most salacious title for you to click on, like you said, then you get to reading and you be like, why the fuck do y'all have this title again?
Yeah, and I think also, like, because I was having this conversation with somebody on Twitter yesterday, and she was like, yeah, well, did you read it? And I said, I did read it, but the problem I have with this is the title. I think the title is inflammatory, mm-hmm. putting it on social media.
Right.
They know most people won't read it.
Correct.
Which is a problem. You know, they know the environment of the internet, so I think it is problematic, quote unquote, mm-hmm. whenever editors and internet publications decide that they're going to go with the inflammatory route rather than to have substance. It used to be the only thing that separated places from like Washington Post from TMZ, the difference of
right.
the substance. You know, like, we're not going to be the salacious headline people, we're gonna actually try to have some type of credibility. Now, you know,
can't tell the difference almost.
Yeah, Bossip's gut full of Kanye or whatever they, you know, to describe pregnancy is just as good as the Washington Post when they put out a piece last week that said President Obama failed to fix racism or something. Like, you read the actual article and it doesn't really have that tone, and it's not really about that, but mm-hmm. the title that you put on there was inflammatory, and you definitely wanted to start this kind of pushback, and it's sad, you know. And
but I just for clicks.
Yeah, and when I see it, I always go, this is fucked up. Anyway, so she goes on to talk about her Mother's Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing for her is that she adopted this child and her family doesn't really live close to her. Okay. So Mother's Day number one, she's going through all four. I think she's had four Mother's Days thus far. My daughter, she's adopted at 6 weeks old. I'm recovering from a bout of meningitis, followed by a second mystery illness that leaves me temporarily arthritic. Weighing less than 100 pounds in excruciating pain, I can't even lift my laptop, let alone an infant. I'm not sleeping, and holiday passes without me noticing. Okay. Mother's Day number two, my neighbors organize a Mother's Day barbecue for their wives. My then boyfriend is understandably with his mother, so I hang around the house all day smelling grilled meat, washing bottles, and waiting for him. When they return, his mom wishes me a happy Mother's Day. My boyfriend is silent under my until my daughter crawls straight for the box containing his pot stash. He lunges towards her with a cup. Here, play with this.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could chalk that up to having a shitty boyfriend, but you know, whatever.
Right.
Mother's Day number three, my friend is in town on a 6-hour layover. It's his birthday. He wants to spend it riding around in taxis and down in espresso. He heads back to the airport at noon. I spend the rest of the afternoon vomiting coffee and car exhaust, hoping my 2-year-old naps until tomorrow.
This sound like a you problem, honey. This ain't got nothing to do with Mother's Day.
Mother's Day number four, the Friday before Mother's Day, my preschooler proudly hands me a card she made at school. On the front, she has a colored picture of a middle-aged woman driving a station wagon. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I gush, reaching for tape and secure it above my desk. No, she shrieks, dissolving into hysterics. It's mine. Isn't it for me? I ask. For Mother's Day, she collapses on the floor, sliding. I return the card. Well, she's four. She don't necessarily understand. Okay. I have realized, despite mother being in the title, Mother's Day is a holiday for wives. I'm the former but not the latter, and for me, Mother's Day is like any other Sunday except for the added pressure of pretending how special it is.
Yeah, this is a you thing. This is a you thing that you wrote an article about to make a you thing a us thing, and this is not a us thing. This is a you thing.
Yeah, I would be curious to know how many single mothers have this type of experience. Because see, my thing with this was, I think while it's specific to her in these four instances, mm-hmm. obviously, the general idea that Mother's Day is sold and commodified as a day to, when we, like, for little girls, for women, for even for men and for boys, it's this idea that, and it's definitely kind of heteronormative.
Mm-hmm.
It's this idea that the husband and the kids all kind of celebrate mom that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really sold any other way. You know what I mean? Like, a single mother experience isn't really seen as a celebrated experience very often. Now, in practice, I think that's not true. You know, in practice, right. I've watched many women who are single mothers be, you know, adored and celebrated by their children right. on Mother's Day. Now, when your child is 1 through 4 to 5 years old, maybe they're not capable of that.
Mm-mm.
When you're not with the father, or when your boyfriend is a forgettable piece of shit that keeps his weed around and that's the only time he talks to your kid,
right.
maybe that's probably a part of it too, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But in general, I could understand the kind of buyer's regret of motherhood for a lot of women. And so while this woman may not be the best quote-unquote example, I think her feeling is very valid. This idea that, as much as society says we celebrate motherhood, we celebrate a certain type of respectable motherhood.
Okay, now that perspective I agree with. I think in practice, people just celebrate mothers across the board. But yeah, I do understand, because Mother's Day is very commercialized, like I was talking before, very commercialized. So like you say, if you watch, pay attention to the commercial, it's the mom and the bed and the kids and the dad, you know, mostly straight people, even though we have all different types of families and all different types of moms these days.
Right.
But the, you know, the dad brings her breakfast in bed, you know, the kids, you know, jack up the pancakes and everybody do a hearty laugh, or here's a card, mom, and she's reading in tears, or you know, he went to Jared and she's in tears,
right.
You know, happy Mother's Day, or you know, the kids trick her while the dad, you know, sneaks it in her pudding or whatever the fuck. So yes, that part I agree with. I also agree with the fact that there are a lot of women who have children, and like you say, it's one of those things where I did not know what I was getting into. And the truth be told, when it comes to mother and motherhood, different people have different experiences. And I think my definition is Mother's Day, you just celebrate mothers, just period, no matter who you are if mm-hmm. you birthed a child into a world, to this world, you're a mother. And the thing about it, when it comes to mothers and Mother's Day, people, excuse me, have a tendency to, I guess it's Mother's Day could be, Mother's Day is supposed to be a happy day, but Mother's Day isn't happy for everybody. And I think that for some people, they reflect on their own personal mothers. And for some people, it's not always a happy memories, you know.
Everybody does, which is why I was like, because I saw people being really dismissive of the article. And it's easy to be dismissive of people that don't fit the mold.
Right.
Like, oh, she seemed like, I saw someone call her bitter or whatever, or jaded. And maybe she is bitter and jaded, but maybe we have to look at the circumstances that lead to a person feeling that way.
Right, right.
Because I feel like this relates to the same thing people have with marriage, where you're kind of told to be, it's kind of, you're sold a perfect image. And so often when people get into a marriage, they find out it's not what they thought it was on the outside looking in, because you really have to experience it to really understand it. And each marriage is different. And then we shame these people for feeling outside of what we decide are the acceptable range of emotions for motherhood or mm-hmm. being a wife or being a husband right. or whatever. So, you know, I think all she's doing is giving her perspective. I really feel like the title just does the whole piece a huge disservice,
because
it makes it seem as if she's saying all single mothers go through what I'm going through.
Right.
While she did choose to adopt a child in a place where she stays away from family, like there's no real support network behind, around her. So while we may look at that and go, well, obviously this is why you're feeling this way, I think a lot of shit is just sold to us in a very irrational manner, and a lot of people buy into it. Like, how many people tell you, like, oh, having kids is the toughest thing you ever do, but it's rewarding, you know, it's just, I, you know, it's just such a blessing and such a joy. Not everybody gets that feeling of the blessing and the joy every single day. They don't just wake up and go, this is so worth it when you're going through it and you're creating and putting out this human and then you're responsible. For some people, it has to be a drag at times.
Right.
And you're not even allowed to express that it's a drag, because that fits outside of the narrative that we want to tell about parenthood, or motherhood in this case. And it's almost even more revolutionary to express this shit, because as a mother, you're especially pushed into a box where you can't say this shit sucks sometimes.
Okay. And to piggyback on some of the things you were saying, is one of those things where being a mother is and just an experience that you have to experience for yourself, because everybody's road through motherhood varies, because everybody has very different children, everybody has very different personalities. It's a lot of people having children is the greatest thing that ever happened to them. It's a lot of people having children, they think about it, they was like, this shit is a lot of hard work, and nobody told me it was gonna be like this. I wasn't mentally ready, I wasn't physically ready, I wasn't financially ready. This is shit people really don't want to get down to. And also, it's one of those things when it comes to motherhood, like you say, it's one of those things where people, not only do people pressure mothers, people pressure children to feel a certain way about mothers. And mm-hmm. and I also have a problem with that when it comes to Mother's Day, because people make people feel bad for not calling their mothers or not responding to their mothers, or if they're mad or angry at their mothers. And it's one of those things where mothers are people, and people do fucked up shit. And not all mothers are good, not all mothers are loving, not all mothers are kind, and everybody think that their personal experience with their mother is the only experience, and anything outside of that is abnormal. Like, if you be like, well, I haven't talked to my mother in such and such, and if she ain't dead or some shit like that, everybody looks at you like you're the villain for not talking to your mother, and want to quote unquote guilt trip you into talking and calling your mother, when it's one of the things where you don't really know what I had to experience. Because I can speak for me personally, it was a period of time in my life where I went for a few years and I didn't talk to my mother at all, and I was just as fine and content, and it didn't bother me at all. And I also went through a period of time where I was just really, really close to just not fucking with her no more. I was like, I have had enough of you. And that's the thing, children grow up and children become adults and children go back and they look and they reflect and they view things, and when they look and they reflect and view things, like I said, people are human, and you can't treat people like shit, especially when the particular person has no say so in your actions, because you basically are taking care of them and feeding them and shit like that. And when they get older where they can do things on their own, they're like, okay, fuck you. You know, I'm grown. I do not have to deal with this. I do not have to put up with this abuse. I do not have to put up with this. And
I mean, that's from a child's perspective, from the child's perspective.
Right.
I'm just saying from the mother's perspective, because I think, you know, we talked about it from the child's perspective, and it's the same kind of notion that you fit outside of the acceptable range of emotions that we've decided for this holiday, so you shouldn't express anything, or if you do, we're kind of gonna tell you to get back in line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what they're doing, the same thing to moms on this, like, right. This is just her experience. I like, it's a downer, you know what I mean? It sucks that this is her experience. Some of the stuff, some of the anecdotes in the article I felt were kind of like, I like, to me the bigger is like check out this one. The day before my birthday, I asked my daughter, are you going to sing happy birthday to me tomorrow? Completely unaware that her mother has a birthday, my daughter thought that I had merely revised his words to the song. Happy birthday to you tomorrow. Happy birthday to you tomorrow. She sang enthusiastically, clapping off beat. Now, I find that to be adorable.
Me too.
Okay, but the thing is, for some reason, in her idea of motherhood or whatever, she thought that this child would understand to have this reverence and appreciation for her at this very young age.
But she's four, right?
I agree.
Okay.
But I think we are sold that type of irrational bullshit constantly.
Yeah, like this child just supposed to automatically, because
we're sold that shit.
Yeah.
We are sold that shit.
Right.
We are sold every day is flowers at home.
Right.
Every day is candy and chocolates
and they just gonna
romance.
Obey you, and they're not gonna buck. Your children are just gonna do whatever you tell for them to do. Like, children don't have personalities. Like, children don't grow and evolve. Like,
right.
Children,
I mean,
aren't intelligent.
Her daughter may grow into a person that really appreciates all the struggles and sacrifice that her mom had for her,
right.
Maybe depending on how good a mom she is and all these other random variables that go into this shit. But you know, for her to say, look, as a mom for 5 years now with no man around that was involved with this child because she adopted,
mm-hmm.
I don't really have a person or family, and my family doesn't live near me. There's no celebration for me really on this day. It's just another day, and it's like, cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it is what it is. Like, I don't know why people, because I saw people getting kind of offended at the article itself, not even the title, because I thought the title was offensive.
Right, that's my problem.
But then when they read the pieces, like, well, why, what she want us to do? You know, it's like, I mean, at the end, she does say what she wants you to do. When you well-meaningly ask, what are your plans for Mother's Day? And I tell you the truth, laundry, cooking, losing my keys, reading the newspaper. Don't feel bad for me. Just say happy Mother's Day. Enjoy. And I will. There you go. Like, if you really, like, it's not everything is something for us to do something about.
True.
It's not always a Kickstarter. It's not even always a GoFundMe. Sometimes it's just like, okay, that's that person's experience, and they just want to express that, and
it's okay.
It might not be my experience. It might be a very rare experience, but they just
True.
Put into the world, this is my experience. And I guarantee you, when you shit on that idea, there are people in your life that are single moms that do have some level of this experience and some level
True.
Of this disappointment. You know, and we're so quick to dismiss it, but you don't know who else is reading this going, I may not identify with all this shit, but I do identify with the idea of not being celebrated.
Right.
You know, I do identify with the idea of, if I want to celebrate Mother's Day, the onus is on me, because there isn't a man, there isn't a family, there isn't
okay.
a unit that is going to do that for me, you know? You know, that being said, like I said, this is a very specific instance for her. Maybe she could have went down to the cookout without her boyfriend, and her baby might have been celebrated with the neighborhood. Who knows?
True.
It sounded like she felt some type of mental insecurity about the fact that she didn't have a husband and everybody else there did.
Right.
You know what I mean? And to me, personally, I feel like Mother's Day is kind of a community thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this one day, most of the community has decided that moms are the shit, and we're not going just my mama, but all mamas we appreciate that what you put into the world and the effort it takes. So if you come down there with your baby to the cookout, I feel like people are gonna be like, that's right, you're a mom, kick your feet up, have a drink, you know, let somebody else handle the kids, let's take your daughter to go play or something, get on us, on the community. But if you don't, especially if you feel some type of way about the respectability of everything,
right,
and the image and shit, I can see how it would get in people's head. Like, I ain't got a man, I can't go down there, you know.
And I realize that most people ain't even thinking twice about you, but right, you know, you're in your own mind so bad that you end up ruining, I guess, quote unquote, this day that's designed for mothers, because you're in your own mind. And truth be told, I guarantee you, with as big as social media, there are places that are like, hey, you're single moms, we got a group of single moms is getting together and having a good time, and everybody's bringing their kids, and we'll just right, celebrate mothers. But it's like, sometimes people don't actually reach out to these spaces that would actually be welcoming to them.
Yep. So I don't know, man. It takes all kinds of people to do shit, and true, not everybody that is a mom is the most positive person about it. Some people are very realistic, some people are very pragmatic, and some people are insecure. True. You know, I don't think we do anybody a service by being like, you know, you're insecure, bitch, you know what I mean, just dismiss them. But at the same time, I don't think there's any way we can fix it. This person probably mm-hmm. needs to talk to somebody or something, you know, just to make sure they're in a positive headspace in general, because I'm sure that shit affects your child. You know, it's got to be really hard to protect your child from that sort of pessimism or fatalism.
Yeah, and children pick up on that without you saying a word.
Yeah, and I mean, and honestly, she might not even really be like that all the time. This day brings out a lot of bad shit in people.
Yeah, it does.
And a lot of people don't want to talk about that side of it, but you know, I see it constantly on social media. I see the people that want to, like, I don't talk to my mom, and they're, you know, they're giving their side of it. I'm seeing the people who are like, my mom is dead.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing people who are like, you know, something's going on with custody of my child or something. Like, it's just not always good. And we like to pull into the, you know, like, to me, it's just easy to ignore it if it's not your jam. But, you know, it feels like people really want to make everyone have the same uniformity. Like I said, the headline is the problem I have with it, and mm-hmm. the Washington Post should be ashamed of themselves, because a lot of people are going to miss out on what I thought was at least an experience worth considering. True. And you know, but, and I think a lot of people really speak from a place of privilege with some of this shit, because like, we do have good moms, or we do have good parenting experiences, or maybe you have a good child or something, you know, like, a lot of people speak from a place of privilege to the point where it's right, like, you know, where they don't have any mental health issues and shit. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, they shit on the other people, like, man, just get over it, kind of. And it's like, oh yeah, it's because you're pretty much an inconsiderate, non-empathetic asshole.
Right. And you assume that because your parents were no drug, I mean, your mama, right, mother wasn't on drugs, went on alcohol, wasn't abusive,
right,
you know, didn't, you know, you wouldn't take from her and put in foster care, your mother wasn't mentally ill, you just feel like, well, I love my mama, why don't you love yours? When right, it's not, you know, it's not like that, because I come from an abnormal household, like with me and my mama, you know, with her being mentally ill. So, you know, people who've never had to really deal with that, and I'm still dealing with that to today, really, you know, don't even understand. You know, like yesterday I actually I called my aunt, who I call mama, she's the lady that raised me, and I had a great time, me and her joked and laughed. And then I called my mama, I couldn't even reach her on Mother's Day because she was out doing activities in the center that she was in. Right. So I didn't even get to speak with her yesterday. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, but you know, it didn't bother me.
Right.
But I know for a lot of people, they take that thing to heart, they take it very personal. And I guess my thing for people that have good mothers and mothers that haven't abused them and in their right minds, so many people take that for granted,
right?
And they just, you know,
not to mention there's a certain level of privilege to not having kids yet.
True.
Like, there's a lot of people that just assume like, well, when I'm a mom, shit gonna be easy. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it won't be, it might be for a lot of people. It's not I'm not dismissing that, but there's a lot of people that once they have a kid, they're like, fuck, postpartum depression is real.
Yes, it is.
You know, I was reading some studies yesterday. One of them said that they were measuring like depression in people, and having your first child can be as depressing as losing a spouse.
I believe that.
we don't talk about that.
No, we don't, because postpartum depression is real, and it's one of those things where I particularly think that more women actually need to be taught about that, taught about the signs of that, taught that it's okay, you need to go get help, you know, you're not alone. But so many women, after they have their first child, go through that, and they literally think that they're alone, even in the age of the internet. Because like you say, when it comes to motherhood, quote unquote, is supposed to be, I have a child, I'm supposed to smile all the time, even though I got to wipe your shitty diaper. I'm supposed to smile all the time, even though you spitting up on me. I'm supposed to smile all the time, even though you had a fucking tantrum in the grocery store. I'm supposed to put on my happy face at all times, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what's going on in my mind, regardless of what else I have going on in my life. Because I'm a quote-unquote mother, I'm supposed to be happy all the time, and that's not realistic.
And because you're constantly being judged off these incremental moments, you right. know, oh, I saw this woman on the train and she told her daughter to shut up, and you're like, that person's a bad parent. And it's like, or that's the 57th time and they kind of ran out of patience. They had a moment, you saw right. the worst moment of their parenting that day,
right? That might.
Yeah. And it's just easy for us to be like, motherfucker, take their kids and put them in foster care. That's a better place. I don't know. You right, know?
Because children I think they did a thing where they say, you know, between, you know, like 2 and 4 and 5, children act like why, sometimes hundreds of time in a day. And if you don't have children, you don't got to deal with that. But if you're the parent, why? Right. After a while, you're like, you know what? Because I said so.
Right.
You know, because I'm tired of you asking me why.
You should never say that to a child. You should never say that. You should always
right. it's like, yeah.
sit down and calmly explain to them why.
Yeah, if I put like this, if I put this child on repeat for you, you after a while, you'd be like, because I said so too.
Right. But I just think we do a horrible job even listening to that kind of shit. And then,
but it's real. But, you know, everybody want to live in this fake pretend world, or it never happens to me. Or the sad part about it is that a lot of women go through shit like this, and then when actual women ask them for advice, they give them terrible ass advice or wrong advice, and they don't keep it real with them. And a lot of women be like, well, shit, I must be going crazy, because everybody else said this shit was supposed to be like this.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of times you have to get on the other side of it before you even realize, like, okay, maybe it is more than I thought to the shit, you know?
Right.
But hopefully you get lucky and you don't have to ever worry about it.
I hope so. And I think for me, and the thing is, I know a lot of times when I say this, people go, well, people assume I hate kids. Not that. It's just for the fact that from my perspective, I know a child is not a baby doll. You can't put a child down and move on with your life. A child is a lot of work. It's a lot of effort, a lot of love. You have to put a lot into a child. And I'm not saying I can't, but at this point in my life, I just don't want to. And it's one of those things where when you do that, people just assume you're being selfish. No, what's selfish is having a child and abusing it and not taking care of it. Something can't be selfish when it does not exist in the universe.
Having your first child makes you more miserable than unemployment or divorce, says a study. Apparently, recent scientific studies of parental happiness or lack thereof tell a very different story from the, you know, bundles of joy that we get sold. Mm-hmm. And one recent survey goes even further, finding that the drop in life satisfaction during the year following the first birth of a child is even larger than that caused by unemployment, divorce, or death of a partner.
I believe that. And I think in the society now, particularly, and I'm not knocking, there are good mommy blogs out there, but a lot of the mommy blogs are some of them are very bully, like bully pulpits, you know, like, hey, you know, if you know, you need to do this, you need to do this. If you don't do this, you're quote unquote a bad mother. And, you know, people are, and it's hard when you're constantly being measured on things. It's like, hey, is your child in the best preschool? Is your child going to the best elementary school? And if they're not, there's something wrong with you. If, you know, if your child went Oshkosh Bagosh or whatever the fuck it is, you know, it's a constant pressure versus you just doing what's best for you and your child.
Yep. Of those new mothers and fathers whose happiness went down, 37% reported a 1-unit drop, 19%, a 2-unit drop, a 17%, a 3-unit drop. On average, new parenthood led to a 1.4-unit drop in happiness. That's considered very severe. The article goes on to note that such a big drop in happiness is greater than the period following divorce, 0.6%. Unemployment, 1-unit drop, or the death of a spouse, which is also a 1-unit drop. In other words, these parents, who no doubt love their firstborns more than life itself, also felt their parenthood was kind of the pits.
Yeah, and it's life-changing. All those events are life-changing, and having a child is life-changing. And when stuff kind of changes your life, sometimes it's not always a good or great response, and people act like you're less than good parents if you act like this shit is not always sunshine and cotton ball clouds all day.
Researchers found that the unhappiness experienced by many couples led them to not have a second child. The decision not to deliver another bundle of joy was particularly true of couples who had babies at or past the age of 30 and were more well educated. Gender had no impact on the respondents' answers.
I believe that.
So
because it's actually after the age of 30, it's actually harder on your body after you get to a certain point.
Well, yeah, lack of sleep, relationship stress, feeling the loss of freedom, control over your life.
Right, and it's a lot. It's, you know, because like I say, all of a sudden, you know, your time is their time, and you just don't have a lot of the freedoms that you had before. And also, you know, and it's something else that people don't want to talk about. Sometimes, truthfully, men can be the problem. Like, your spouse can be the problem of the postpartum depression, because like I've seen like grown ass men, some of my uncles, cut a motherfucking fool and jealous of their own child, because all of a sudden the child is taking the woman's attention away from them, and they don't know how to handle it. And you're like, motherfucker, you fucking grown, what the hell is wrong with you?
A Texas man brings a real gun to a water gun fight and shoots a 15-year-old girl.
Oh,
I guess he won.
Happy Mother's Day, I guess.
Well, this happened a while ago.
Okay.
Law enforcement officials in Spring, Texas. Is that where, isn't that where that other girl got slammed at the pool party? Was that Spring, Texas too?
Not.
Maybe that was a different place. I don't know. Said over the weekend they were questioning a man who shot a 15-year-old girl who was playing with water guns.
And they purposely make water guns bright and colorful. Like, they purposely make them where they go, hey, this is a toy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he
was his bright and colorful too.
Good evening, I'm Rekha Mudaraj. We begin tonight in North Harris County, where a family gathering took a very bad turn. People were playing with toy water guns when at some point a real gun went off. A 15-year-old girl was shot. Now, this happened at a home just north of the Grand Parkway, east of Gosling. Tim Wetzel, they're live with what he has learned. Tim.
Rekha, first off, I can tell you that 15-year-old girl is in stable condition. She is recovering at the hospital right now. Witnesses tell us the family was having a squirt gun fight out here in the front yard when a family friend brought out a gun and somehow it went off. Neighbors tell us the man, who's in his 40s, either was playing with the gun or dropped it, causing it to fire. Deputies have taken him into custody. It's not yet clear if he will be charged. According to witnesses, though, it all appeared to be an accident.
Well, he went to go dry off with his clothes, and he had a gun. And so I guess he was messing with it, and it shot the girl in her collarbone. And everybody was in panic. The girl was in shock, and the ambulance came, and the cops came, and everything just broke out when she got shot.
And a few minutes ago, family members returned to the home here. They tell us that girl is doing better, but then we asked about the accident. They wouldn't talk about it, saying that they want privacy. Certainly very good that bullet appears to have missed the girl's major organs. Certainly a very scary situation here in North Harris County. Live in North Harris County, Tim Wetzel, KHOU 11 News.
All right, Tim, thank you so much.
Why the hell do we need so many guns? I mean, was she a bad guy with a water gun and he's a good guy with a real gun? I mean, what's the rules?
Yes, somebody said he ain't a family friend no more. You're goddamn right he ain't.
Right? Might have been a family enemy before that. Police are seeking child victims after arresting Spanish porn king director.
Oh.
An investigation was launched after a minor lodged a complaint alleging she had been asked at a Madrid bar to appear in porn films. Police in Spain yesterday said they were trying to identify children who had been forced to appear in pornographic videos after they arrested the country's king of porn. The investigation was launched after a minor lodged a complaint alleging she had been asked at a Madrid bar to appear in porn films. While she accepted at first, she subsequently refused. Still, she was forced to film such scenes after consuming drugs.
Wow.
Press reports named director Ignacio Allende Fernandez, or Torbe as he is known. Oh, I've seen his movies. Damn, this nigga was fucking, oh wow. Adding that he been remanded in custody pending further police inquiries. Police, who are appealing for witnesses to come forward to help identify potential child victims, described the man detained on the 25th of April as famous director and producer of Spanish porn films. He faces allegations of sexual abuse of children, dissemination of child pornography, and human trafficking. Shit. Ooh. You know what's wild?
So he filmed all types of porn.
What? Here's one thing. You were known as the king of porn.
Right, the king of porn.
You were filming yourself. He's not that attractive of a man, but he was filming himself having sex with all kinds of beautiful women for money, for a living. And he was like, nah.
This ain't enough.
I gotta do child porn, man. I got to get into the child porn genre. You can't even sell
is
the child porn.
Is that where
porn.
The real money is, apparently?
I don't know. He was like, this life is not good, complete, until I have some sex with some children. I'm sorry. Spain's El País Daily described Torbe as the country's main producer of pornography after the director's arrest. Investigators found on the main server of one of his companies several pornographic videos featuring protagonists who were minors. Torbe has frequently appeared in lengthy interviews with Spanish media, boasting about having contributed to professionalizing amateur pornography. In an interview with El Confidencial online daily in 2014, he said he had struggled when he began his career to find women who were willing to work with him. Now they are the ones who come to me, he says, describing a financial crisis that struck Spain in 2008 as an opportunity for his business that allowed him to cut costs. So it's like, nah, I don't pay them hoes too much.
Right, that's what that means.
Spanish police in October launched a big operation against child pornography, arresting 81 men across the country who are suspected of having exchanged sexual photos and videos of minors over the internet. Damn. Damn. That motherfucker had it all. He just blew it. Oh, to jail you go, motherfucker.
Ain't that the truth?
let's see what else happens. Oh, Sinead O'Connor is getting into it with Arsenio Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I love
that's
the 80s.
Weird combo.
I know.
I love the 80s.
Sinead O'Connor accused Arsenio Hall of getting prints on the very same drugs that may have ultimately led to his death. Which is funny because they're saying it was like prescription painkillers, but Sinead O'Connor was trying to apply it was like illegal cocaine and shit. The accusation led to the former talk show host calling Sinead O'Connor out on her bullshit and threatening a lawsuit against the singer for defamation. But it looks like Sinead ain't stunting none of that. She posted on Facebook regarding Arsenio, and she spelled it Arse, like ass, Arsenio Hall's laughable threats. I'm more amused than I've ever dreamed a person could be, and look forward very much to how hilarious it will be watching him trying to prove me wrong. I'm also very happy to notice that the DEA have taken me seriously enough to be thoroughly questioning all of Prince's friends and aides from the last 30 years as to his known history of hard drug use and where he obtained his drugs. I do not like drugs killing musicians, and I do not like Arsenio Hall. He can suck my dick. That is, if he isn't too busy sucking someone else's dick, smiley face. Ooh. I think that's about the rumors that him and Eddie Murphy was gay.
Oh.
I'll say this, man. One, Sinead O'Connor's, wow, that is, she don't give a fuck. Mm-mm. Two, much like suicide, I'm always kind of, I find our human inclination to want to blame somebody
right
to be very odd and misplaced. Like, we always have to have a reasoning. Like, it couldn't be that Prince was a drug addict, or he OD'd, or he accidentally, or, you know, he had a hip replacement. He was living in constant chronic pain. Like, it couldn't be that. You know what I mean? Like, we couldn't just be like, this is unfortunate and leave it at that. Someone gotta go to jail. Someone gotta get in trouble. Like, that is justice. Like, he was killed. Like, someone came in his house and killed him is how we've decided to handle shit. But these people are adults, and they make choices, and the choice is the choice. You know what I mean? If I die, y'all can't go attack McDonald's. That's not their fault. You know what I mean? If somebody, like, you just can't be like, Patrice O'Neal died, somebody sue Hardee's. Like, nah, man, people make decisions. They're adults. They go out of their house every day. If you do cocaine every day, you can't be like, well, if it wasn't for Arsenio Hall, I never would have tried cocaine. Like, he's Prince. If it wasn't cocaine or whatever, but if it was, how would that be anybody else's fault but his?
I know, right?
We gotta live with that shit, man. It sucks.
Yes, sir.
But you gotta live with it, man. People are responsible for their own shit. So, anyway, Sinead O'Connor was tripping. Let's see what else happened. Demi Lovato got into it on Twitter with on Instagram over a Nicki Minaj picture. So, starting to look like Demi might have some serious issues.
I know my sister. Who's Demi Lovato?
Demi Lovato is, well, we've talked about her before. She got into it with Zendaya, I believe. She talked about Zendaya being too skinny and being a bad example to girls and all this stuff. You don't remember that?
I do, but what does she do?
I don't know. Why are you whispering? Is somebody else in this house?
No, I just want to know what does she do? Like, I've heard her name, but like, does she do anything?
I mean, I think she's a singer.
Okay.
So, I mean, she has music and stuff. I don't really know much about her. She's also, I think, used to be an actress and maybe even a child star at some point. So, you know, I don't know much about her. Her number one song on Tidal is Confident. She got a song with Iggy Azalea called Kingdom Come. So, I don't know. Anyway, she apparently was mad at Nicki Minaj because Nicki Minaj took a picture with Demi Lovato and designer Jeremy Scott. The only problem is Nicki only tagged Jeremy Scott. And Demi noticed it and thought it was a diss and left a comment under the photo, which was crying laughing emoji, peace emoji, and thumbs up emoji. Then later she took the same picture, she posted a caption under it and said, this picture pretty much summed up my first and probably last Met Gala. Hashtag cool, hashtag so fucking awkward, hashtag not for me, hashtag sweatpants, hashtag forensic files, hashtag what's good. So apparently she's now saying that she started ranting about the situation because she's blaming it on her bipolar disorder.
I don't believe you.
She tweeted out, maybe my midnight rants are part of my bipolar disorder. Can't change being crazy, but you can press unfollow.
Nikki Squad, the Barbies, I think that's what they call them, started showing up in her mentions.
She said, sometimes there's more to the story. I don't know, man. She went off on, didn't she go off on, Taylor Swift saying she didn't support Kesha? And then later it was revealed Taylor Swift actually helped pay part of Kesha's money for her court costs.
Oh, that's that chick.
Yeah. And then,
so this sound like this a thing.
Yeah. Sound like she goes off on a handle on people and she didn't take any of that shit back. You know, she was clearly wrong.
Yes, sir.
She says, or maybe I rant online because people assume they know things and their entitlement to know makes me feel obligated to defend myself. Say what now, sis? She might need to align her energies. I'd rather annoy people with my honesty and loud opinions than stay silent and be fake as fuck. Hashtag last tweet of the night. Hashtag going to sleep. And then right after that, she tweeted, at least I'm honest. So I guess it wasn't the last tweet of the night or going to sleep.
she lied.
Or maybe I rant online because people assume they know things and entitlement makes me obligated to defend myself. Yeah. So, good luck, man. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So don't, if you take a picture with Demi Lovato, make sure you tag her.
You better. You're going to have problems.
She has the time.
Apparently she does. She ain't that busy.
Let's see. What about to talk about a different topic. Where's my music for guest arrangements? Take your time, Spotify. No need to worry about it. All right, here we go.
There is something I wanna test you. There is something that I wanna know. Ask you the question if you have the answer. Then tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me?
That's right, guys. LGBTQ news. RuPaul kicked Kaya out of DragCon for making transphobic comments.
Good.
That's right. The same Kaya that talked shit about Beyonce.
Right. Right.
You may know her from such hits as My Neck, My Back, and My Neck, My Back, the remix.
Right.
And My Back, My Neck, My Back, the radio edit.
Mm-hmm.
She recently informed her 27 fans that RuPaul and organizers of her DragCon event were removing her from the lineup because of her past transphobic comments that she had made flagrantly. So apparently, she basically got caught out there. You know, people use, you know, and this is what happens in 2016. Somebody books you for something. People have receipts. And now it's like, oh, no, you can't do that.
Right. So you making these outlandish statements and you just fucking your own money up, dog.
Yeah. So RuPaul posted where it said, meet Kaya, scheduled to appear. And then she edited in, refers to drag queens as punks and sissies and women with dicks. So apparently she can't go. And then Kaya put it on her Instagram and said, damn, now I'm the principal, I'm in the principal office and I can't go to DragCon because the sissy and pucks are scared for their lives. Crying, laughing emoji.
You not helping the situation out.
Well, I guess she don't need that check.
Apparently not.
You know, that Target cashier check is every week just fine. North Carolina does say that it will defy the Justice Department over the LGBT law.
Of course.
Saying, we're not going to be bullied.
Yeah, so basically, fuck the people of the state that's actually suffering. And
you will not bully us out of our right to bully.
Right. And PayPal was like about to sign the dotted line and bring, you know, a few hundred dollars. PayPal immediately was like, we ain't even coming to your state no more. You had the NBA talking about, well, the All-Star game might not come. You're like, fuck it.
Yep, they canceling concerts and shit here.
Right.
None of it matters because Pat McCrory and his you know, his crew, they're all funded by the Koch brothers and shit like that. They don't care.
Right.
Nobody here, this is what I wish I could get people to understand about what's going on in our state. Mm-hmm. The people who have these offices didn't campaign on this.
Nope.
This was never brought up during any debates.
Mm-mm.
These motherfuckers just took it upon themselves. Once they got into the office, they were bought and paid for. They decided to enact restrictive legislations that have nothing to do with the actual citizens of the state and what the state decides.
Yeah, because they don't care.
Citizens didn't vote for them to have the most restrictive punitive unemployment in America. They, you know, right. They took that upon themselves.
Vote right laws.
These aren't even voters' initiatives, guys. They're not even asking the public, like.
They didn't, never went on about it. We didn't see nothing about this shit.
Right. It's so fucking frustrating. It's one of the reasons that it ticks me off so bad to hear Bernie Sanders and his crew of people that support him write off southern states. My state voted for Obama in 08 and we elected a Democratic governor. You know, like, this state is not a third world country down here.
Mm-mm.
And we're part of the United States of America too.
Yes, we
and
are.
And we have a lot of people down here who are fighting a good fight to try to keep this state liberal, democratic, or moderate, or however. And you have people who were elected on completely different platforms and what they're passing these laws for. And Pat McCrory especially should be ashamed of himself. He was the mayor of Charlotte. Right. When he was the mayor of Charlotte, they used to talk bad about him. Republicans would be like, yo, this dude not a real Republican because he's way too liberal socially. And that's because our city is basically a Democrat city.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very black city. It was no way he could have gotten elected if he would have been just some fucking bigot like this. But the second he got that governorship, he completely went, you know, and maybe he wants to be president. That's why he's doing it. I don't know. But he completely went full bigot because his pockets will be fine. No matter what happens to our state, no matter how much business he loses, nothing's going to happen to his lifestyle. His house will get bigger, his cars will get nicer, his children will go to better schools, and he doesn't even have to believe this shit. Not a second of this has to be something he believes in. So when you see these things in these states and you just go, well, they're not gonna vote Democrat in November anyway, remember that not everybody living here is cool with this shit, and a lot of us are fighting, and we need a person that's in office that's gonna fight too.
Yeah, we do, and they actually, basically, it's probably going to go up to the Supreme Court, because they basically said,
they're suing each other. I have more news to this, but they're suing each other. The DOJ is suing North Carolina. North Carolina is suing the government of the United States, basically. All over discrimination of this trans bill, and I think this was the plan from jump.
Yep.
I think the people who sponsor Pat McCrory, they know he's going to lose in November. Like, he knows he's going to lose. This is just him going for broke here because they're basically using this as an example to get something to the Supreme Court, which is probably going to lose there too because ding, 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 we don't have motherfucking enough justices. You know what I mean? And if they don't do it, it's going to be deadlocked at best. If they don't allow Obama to confirm a justice, it's going to be deadlocked at best. If they do, it'll probably be a justice that is at least moderate to fair-minded, which for right-wing Republicans might as well be fucking the most liberal left-wing commie motherfucker to them.
Right, or it'll get so far and they might decide not even to look at it.
Right, so it's like this is all for that game that they're playing, and we end up getting caught in the middle of it.
Suffering.
And it sucks to see that our state gets this reputation. I don't think people should lay off. I like when people talk shit about the state because I think it does good to hear how other people feel that this is such a fucking draconian institution to even try to put this on the people. It's the entitlement, the bigotry, the evil. It's just evil, man. And so I'm glad that Loretta Lynch is they're gonna file suit against and penalize our state for state-sponsored discrimination. Keep in mind, part of the things we could lose is funding for schools.
Right.
These people put the children behind the bigotry. I'd rather be a bigot. What? Shut up. I'd rather be a bigot. My right to be a bigot is more important than my kids' education.
Mm-hmm.
That's how a lot of these people feel down here. Man, this fucking...
And it's frustrating, it irritates, it makes you mad because you're like, hey, I never got a chance to vote on this. This was never about to me. Y'all fuckers got together and decided within 24 hours to pass this shit. And the sad part about it, you have other states literally looking at us as an example. So depends on what happened here, we'll actually determine if this shit basically go across the country.
Right. this unenforceable, ridiculous law.
Come on. And the bullshit about it is that y'all using this, but y'all also piggybacking other shit that affects other groups.
Minimum wage, it also freezes minimum wage. It also it freezes the right to sue for discrimination if you're wrongfully fired. And they had to reinstate that, but they still haven't reinstated the minimum wage, and they still haven't repealed the bathroom part. The Department of Justice sued North Carolina on Monday, seeking a permanent injunction to block the law and a declaration of that it is discriminatory. More than $800 million in federally backed loans and public universities are at risk if North Carolina refuses to comply with the federal government, according to the Associated Press. The University of North Carolina system could lose more than $1.4 billion in federal funding.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of schools can't afford that.
No, they can't. They'll end up closing.
Yeah. Fayetteville State can't afford that. Mm-mm. Like, this is ridiculous. For some fucking bigotry? Anyway. All right, let's go to our next segment. But I had to cover that, because
that just goddamn ridiculous. Yeah, that makes you mad. Right, it makes you upset.
Speaking of making people upset.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go around and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for our articles that we find all over the globe that fuck with black people. Today's contestant is everybody. All right. Let's see who we got here. Who's next? On the Summer Jam screen, a university has expelled two students and suspended one because they're accused of lying about a racial attack. This is sad. Two New York college students were expelled and the third was suspended for 2 years after they allegedly lied about a supposed racially motivated incident aboard an Albany bus, the university president said Thursday. I remember this on social media, and a lot of people were like, y'all need to cover this, and I was like, not yet.
Yeah, let's see how that pans out.
With a lot of this shit, I like to kind of put it on the back burner, because you just never fucking know. You hope right. for the... I mean, honestly, it's a bad situation either way.
Right.
Either everybody's telling the truth, and it's another racial... Oops, sorry. Either everybody's telling the truth, and it's another racial injustice, or somebody lying and it's still fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see if I can play this article.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. 20-year-olds Aisha Burwell, Ariella Gudio, and Alexis Briggs didn't say a word as they walked into the Albany County Courthouse. They're accused of assault, harassment, and falsely reporting an incident in the racially fueled CDTA bus attack.
I think it's definitely an overreach. I think it's now becoming more of a political persecution.
Supporters of the women packed the courtroom as well, saying they don't believe this case is getting a fair shake. The three were UAlbany students at the time and initially claimed that they were the victims of an attack in the early morning hours of January 30th. The attack on the CDTA bus was reported as a group of students, including white men, were assaulting and hurling racial slurs at the three women who are black. That sparked an outrage and protest on the UAlbany campus. However, the charges paint a different picture, alleging that Burwell, Agudio, and Briggs were the aggressors in a fight that was caught on video.
Have you really seen the tape? All right, that's a great question.
Protesters questioned the video, saying no one knows what really happened before the students got on the bus. One UAlbany professor says she also analyzed the video without audio, and body language, she says, is crucial.
There was an entire context around what the public has really jumped on, and that is the very end of the fight where Ariel is defending herself.
The three women were indicted on Monday after negotiations fell through. Part of a plea agreement included having the women apologize.
So it almost sounds like they're saying we're not going to apologize, so we didn't take the shit to trial. So maybe they still do feel like, hey, we told the truth and the university wants us to plead out and say that we did something wrong and we don't think we did anything wrong. Cause the shit gets murky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
especially with if what the white people are accused of doing is verbal insults, and then you come in and you get physical, legally they probably will be like, yep, mm-hmm, see, look at these black people attacking these white people. It's like, well, there's no audio on the fucking video. Who knows what they were saying?
That's true.
It might be a reason I came back on a bus and was like, say that shit to my motherfucking face. You know what I mean? So yeah, I don't know. It's he said versus she said in this joint, and it's become completely racially charged. It's definitely political at this point. Because mm-hmm. once you have people marching, now you got people that weren't even fucking interested in it that just hate to see black people organize to defend black women, period.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's got to be a ton of people that are just like, I didn't give a fuck until Black Lives Matter show. You know, everything's Black Lives Matter. You know?
Everything.
Till Black Lives Matter showed up.
Now I care.
Right. So, I don't know, man. I feel pretty fucked with, man. And it doesn't sound like they admitted to any lies or anything, so I still believe them. 100 for me. Feel like this is intimidation. They trying to kick them out of school, and they trying to force them to apologize, and they said no, and it's like, well, then get the fuck out of school as more intimidation, even though it doesn't seem that anything is decisive from the video I saw.
Yeah, an incident didn't even happen on campus, did it?
No, it happened on a bus, but it seems that that video is not definitive proof that, if anything, it proves that they were in an altercation and they hit some people, but it doesn't prove that they started shit, because they don't even have the audio. Anyway, 0 to 100 for you.
Yeah, it's 100, because one of the things where you don't really, it's so many questions that probably will never get the answers to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where you're kind of taking these women out to dry, but what about the other people that are involved? I hear nothing about them.
Yeah. Hundreds of well-wishers donate 2,000 euro. I actually think it's more than that now. I think it's at 6,000. To a waitress who was refused a tip by racist black Oxford student because she was white.
What?
Hundreds of well-wishers have donated money to a waitress to cover the tip of a black Oxford student refused to pay because she was white. Ashley Schultz, 24, was reduced to tears when, Ntokozo, I hope I pronounced it right, Ntokozo Kwabe, a leader of the campaign to remove a Cecil Rhodes statue at Oxford, and a friend wrote on their cafe bill, "We will give tip when you return the land."
What the hell is wrong with people? That's actually hilarious. That was wrong, but hilarious.
Will you return the land?
That is funny.
He bragged online that he had made her cry typical white tears, leaving him unable to stop smiling because something so black and wonderful had happened. Oh man, that is fucked up though.
Very.
The incident last week at Ob's Cafe in Western Cape, South Africa, has ignited a backlash against Mr. Kwabe, who was branded a racist bully. Ms. Schultz's friend says she had already been feeling low as her mother has cancer. Oh, they went and found this white woman's backstory.
We're gonna find out everything about you.
We talked to her friends. They said she was very depressed because on Mother's Day, her child thought it was her birthday.
Yes, sir.
One said she has a very sick mother she cares for and had to move flat recently and is worried about all of this. She did burst into tears because she is having a tough time at present. Online campaign sprang up to tip the waitress, and last night her pledges topped 2,000 euro. Stacy Lee Wood, a friend of Ms. Schultz, said, "This is so sweet of everyone that donated. That other idiot, Mr. Kwabe, still needs to be slapped, though." South African Mr. Kwabe is a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford University, meaning he receives money from the Rhodes Estate to study. But he is also one of the leaders of the Rhodes Must Fall movement, which wants the statue of the 19th century imperialist removed from the Oriel College. One of the online campaigns was triggered by an outraged South African, Seal Ngobis, okay, Ngobis, who decided to pay the tip himself and said Kwabe is someone that claims to speak to the downtrodden and the disenfranchised, yet he has audacity to bully a working class young woman. "I just wanted to make a small gesture to show South Africans that if we love and respect each other, it makes our country great." In his incendiary Facebook post last Thursday, Mr. Kwabe boasted he and his friend are a radical non-binary trans black activist had refused to pay the white woman a tip, instead leaving the note. Mr. Kwabe wrote, "She sees the note and starts shaking. She leaves us and bursts into typical white tears." He said a male waiter then approached the table to annoy us more with his own white tears, telling us that he finds our act racist. He added, "It is irrelevant whether you personally have land wealth or you don't. Get to your fellow white people and mobilize them to give us the land back." Hundreds have condemned him online. Charmaine Rollins wrote, "I cannot believe an educated person, educated with a white racist grant, by the way, could stoop this low. Please tell Ashley we, that is all South Africans who do not tolerate racism, stand with her and others who do an honest day's work for next to nothing." Adrian Coetzee said, Coetzee said it is a sad day that someone that is as privileged to receive a scholarship cannot appreciate how hard someone that isn't as blessed to has to work to achieve an education that he is taking for granted. Ms. Schultz cannot be reached for comment. 0 to 100, Karen.
100, that's fucked up. The note was funny, but the situation itself is very fucked up.
Yeah, I gotta give it 100 too, and fuck him. You know, that shit was wrong.
Yes, it was, and it was racist.
Yeah, first of all, don't take your ass out to eat if you're not tipping.
Come on.
Period. That's just rude manners in general. Second of all, not every white person is responsible for the motherfucking state of racism and systemic prejudice in the country. So certainly not somebody making fucking $2.75 an hour.
No, they have nothing to do with that.
Like, you're just picking on the least of people to try to like make some type of point, but it's not a really making a point.
You're just being an ass.
Yeah, you just being a dick. Like, that shit was stupid. That is 100, man. You know,
right, and he should have been called out for it.
Yeah, like, and maybe he thought he was just doing a joke or something, and now he's trying to stand behind it as some type of political statement. But that shit was just corny.
Agreed.
Yeah, damn, nigga, ashy ass decision making was that. I don't really care about the hypocrisy of him taking a Rhodes scholarship while thinking Rhodes imperialism needs to be banned or whatever. I don't care about that. And I also noticed the slight they tried to put in there with the, like, an activist who claims to be a non-conforming trans black activist. Like, why do y'all care so much about that kind of shit? You know what I mean? It's not gonna hurt your feelings at all that somebody doesn't want to be called he or she, or they want to be called they, or they want to be called by their first name, or whatever the fuck. It really doesn't change anything about that person. They are a dick because they co-signed that not tipping shit.
Right.
It's not like the person did a bad job or said something racist to them. They just decided because you're white, you now represent all white people, and I'm gonna say some fuck shit to you. That's whack.
Right, when you would have a fit, it was the other way around.
Yeah, but I do notice all that other shit. But anyway, it was funny, but that shit was super whack, and I don't think it helps anybody to do super whack shit like that in the name of, you know, race or whatever. I don't think it's like, if that's the extent of, if that's activism, then I truly do not get it, and I'll just be happy to say I don't get it, and I don't agree with that, because I don't know why somebody would do something so stupid. Like, you definitely couldn't eat out with me and write that shit on the motherfucking tab, nigga. No.
If you don't tip with us, that'd be the first and last time we ever go out.
Right. Well, she's white. What the fuck?
What that got to do with anything?
Did she call you a nigger or something between meals? I didn't see it. Did she? Right. Can I fill up your drinks, nigger? Okay, you can write. Give us the land back. I agree, but if she just did her motherfucking job. Cause I don't stand for that shit when somebody says it to a black person, and we've seen
right.
that. Anyway, Fox News fans found out that Malia Obama is going to Harvard, so they called her a nigga.
Of course. But you can't say my nigga out of speech, okay?
Yeah, she is 17, and she's a senior, and she's going to take a year off, I think. And then she's gonna
so you graduated early, huh?
And then I think she's going to Harvard. So good for her. Of course, eggs on Twitter did not agree.
Mm-mm.
Another academically challenged affirmative action parasite steals a place from a qualified white or Asian student. We would love to know, how did she score on her GPA? $1K points for her skin color, 200 for affirmative action, and the rest for her last name. Apparently this person does not know how a GPA works.
No, they do not.
Typically they stop at 4, sometimes 5 if weighted.
they don't
have 1K points and 200 for affirmative action.
They don't know that.
GPA and test scores can only be used to evaluate white, Asian, Indian people. All others are accepted if they can fill out the application. That's right. They can't believe that a private school educated child of Ivy League parents could be smart enough to get into this school while being black. Not to mention, pretty sure they didn't have a problem with George W. Bush getting into the school he got into
with a C average,
because he's white. If it were honorable, it would surrender that school spot to a needy citizens. Man, racist people in spelling.
Right, and crazy people in spelling.
Yeah, what's up with y'all? Y'all just feel like the grammar rules are just suggestions, huh?
Yep.
Probably staying out for a year so she can help her parents carry out the furniture and dinnerware when they leave the White House. And then someone responded to that, typical. I wonder if she applied for a mud slime or a foreign student or just a nigger. What I like about that one is he put two at signs for the G's and nigger.
He said, I don't want them to flag me if they're going through trying to kick people out.
I'm sure she's being fed a stem of celery with two grain muffins for lunch, as according to by her man thing mother, Sasquatch. So now they're attacking Michelle Obama, trying to say she's not attractive and saying she's manly. Hopefully she gets cancer or AIDS or one of those colored diseases. There is a reason for taking a gap year. Usually it's because of immaturity. The child is not mature enough for college. Notice there is no mention of what she intends to do in that year. Curious. We probably will see for ourselves that she does what she does after high school graduation. One trend now is to take a year off for overseas or domestic community volunteering. Lots of kids do it now. And then someone responded, you sound like Obama's third child. Do what they do best. Start breeding. Who gives a crap about a little monkey? So it goes on and on from there. 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
25 for me. 25. I don't know why. Just felt like I knew that shit was coming. Like, that wasn't even top five racism. I bet they aggravated the least racist ones.
Oh, yeah. They didn't give us the good ones. They filtered out.
I found more racism when I searched tub and nigger when she got on the 20.
I believe it.
So, I don't know.
That's just from the website. Yeah, they didn't do the tweets. The tweets would have been good.
Yeah, that didn't move me the way the other ones did. Anyway. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist as hell. All right, guys, let's get into number one. Con Ed rescinds a woman's job offer over a sexy Instagram photo. Shocking. A Long Island woman says Con Edison zapped her job offer because of a bare-breasted Instagram photo. Samantha Chirichella, 26.
That's a name.
Of West Islip, I don't know how to pronounce that, said she was ready to start a $70,000 a year job as a staff investigator in Con Ed's legal services department until a background check turned up a picture of her bearing a breast for an art exhibit. Chirichella says in papers filed in Manhattan Supreme Court that the picture posted 3 years ago is art, and not porn. And Con Ed is really rescinding his offer because of sexual orientation. The photo shows a mirror image of a nude woman nibbling at an aroused naked breast. Yes, it does. I could tell it's a nipple because my mouth is drooling.
Oh, Lord.
It was shown in a gallery as part of a larger art show that featured the photography of a cherry cello friend. The work was no more sexually explicit than the works of Da Vinci, Titian, or Michelangelo, and less explicit than photos published in Sports Illustrated. Cherichello's lawyer, Arthur Schwartz, says in court papers. The suit charges that Con Ed discriminated against Cherichello for her sexual orientation because on Instagram in the comments section, another friend asked Cherichello about the photo and if she was a lesbian, and Cherichello indicated that she was. "We're reviewing the matter now," a Con Ed spokesman said Monday night. Guess the race of Mrs. What is her first name? Samantha Cherichello, 26. Let's see what they say. I don't know what race that is. She forgot to tag them on Instagram white. Demi Lovato was like, "I disagree." Really, really white. White. So look like a lot of white going on here. Spanish, says Prieta. Or Prieta. The correct answer is, let's see, white. The correct answer is, she is Latino. Some of you got it right. And let me find a picture I can use for you guys.
She's pretty.
Oh, she's extremely pretty, man. Sad that shit went down that way. People just so, like, we still have such a puritanical society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's still kind of weird that we look into people's like Facebook and Twitter and shit and go, "Oh, this person's holding a drink. I don't think we can hire this person to work at this job."
Right. That has nothing to do with their job. And the thing is, you know, it's now to the point, not all jobs, but you know, some jobs are like, "Well, hey, I want to see your social media." No.
Yeah.
For what? For why? Particularly if my job is not to go out and represent you. No.
Right. And I know, Instagram has a policy about nibbles anyway, so I'm surprised she got that picture by, but it must be art if they let it go through, because they be hating. They were like, "Titties, ew, get those out of here."
Yeah, especially Rihanna. They were like, "No, girl, no,
get those out of my face. You are kicked off." It's like Samson in Half Baked. A titty, ew. All right, let's see, how about this one? An Ohio man shot up his own home after imagining a burglar.
Oh, imagining.
Yeah. More people gotta get guns, guys. That's what we need in America. Only thing that could have stopped him was a good version of him with a gun.
If you say so.
A man in Warren, Ohio was facing charges after he shot up his own home because he feared the noises could be a burglar. He was 28 years old. He's William Chesser. He contacted 911 to report a possible break-in. Officers arrived at the scene and found him waiting in his car. Chesser told officers that he became paranoid after hearing cars drive past his home and knocking sounds coming from his windows. According to the police report, believing that noises in his home could be a burglar, Chesser said that he ran into one of the upstairs bedrooms, jumped from a two-story window, and then fled to a neighbor's home to call police. Police at the scene observed that the front door was kicked in and several windows were broken. After noticing the smell of gunpowder, they observed bullet holes in the stairway wall. An AK-47 and spent shell casings were found laying on the floor in the hallway near the stairway. Well, don't want to give them no mystery to solve. Damn. Also, a .38 special revolver was also recovered. Officers said that Chesser admitted to firing both guns because he suspected that a burglar was making noises by breaking into his home. The police reported that marijuana and other drug contraband were found at the scene. You don't say.
Open and shut case.
He was charged with disarming a firearm in the city limits. Officers are determined that he had an outstanding warrant of $1,103 of traffic fines.
Yeah, damn.
And now he's being held in jail. Guess the race of Mr. William Chesser. Dude shot up his own house. Let's see what they had to say in the chat room. Impossible white man on meth.
Oh.
Thug White. Stopped on the call on the way to call the police on his black neighbors. Saw a suspicious thing about my neighbor was out cutting his grass. Mm-mm. I think I gotta call the police on this. Oath Keepers leadership couldn't wait to shoot up a brother instead of his arm white. The correct answer is, and all of you did get it, it's white. If that don't beat all, let's go to the bonus round. What? What the hell? It's one of my songs is missing. Oh, I moved it. Okay, I didn't mean to do that. There we go. Now. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race for the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's all over the place. Mostly 2-for-2. But we will see what is going on after this. Mm-hmm. Y'all getting nervous? Because I'm getting groovy. All right. Let's see. How about... how about this one? Professor whose secret porn star life called who's a secret porn star called Old Nick was uncovered
Santa Claus
was uncovered when a student recognized him in an X-rated film.
Oh.
And now he has quit his university job. Old Nick. I hope his real name wasn't Nick. The university.
Oh, not like, either.
You know, give him a little mystery. Give him a chance to solve it.
I know.
How come you didn't go by like Dick Slanger or something? So people would be like,
make a good name up.
Yeah. Young Hung Lo. The university professor who was unmasked as a porn star working under the stage name Old Nick after he was spotted has resigned from his job. Nicholas Goddard, a respected chemical engineer lecturer at the University of Manchester, was revealed. Aww. To be living a double life as an adult film actor after a student recognized him in a film.
Probably might be making more money being on Nick than the professor.
Well, he's getting double the money. I mean,
that's true.
Although the university initially suspended the divorced father of three, whose academic career spans almost 35 years, while they investigated the matter, it emerged today that Professor Goddard has now formally resigned. It emerged last week that millions of people across the world have watched the lecturer performed as Old Nick in dozens of pornographic films, which he recorded while working at the university. But his career moonlighting as a porn star only came to light when a student recognized him in one of his films. Another of the students wrote online, "The day I found out, I was doing the afternoon ritual of mine, watching pornography, when I suddenly came across a strange video. It seemed like an ordinary clip, except the guy appeared to resemble Nick, Professor Goddard, similar build and hair. The first disturbing sign of confirmation was the oddly recognizable voice. Then I saw the video's title, Busty Teen Lolly Fucks Old Nick Outdoors."
That name.
But the realization came when I noticed all his distinct mannerisms and gestures. It was Nick. For the first few minutes, I couldn't believe my eyes. The very idea was disturbing. I had to show it to somebody to prove it wasn't my mind playing tricks. I guess they took the part out about after I masturbated to completion.
Mm-hmm.
I had to conform somebody. Oh, and it was not for in the video of the world's biggest adult site Pornhub, Professor Goddard can be seen reclining on a rug in a garden wearing sunglasses and a pair of black underpants. Co-star Lolly, a young Russian blonde in a yellow polka dot bikini, begins to massage him with sun cream.
Oh, snap now.
"You have a nice body," the professor tells her. I know, she replies in a heavy Russian accent. You can guess how the 8-minute tale continues. 8 minutes, that's it.
Y'all got the quick version.
I guess he older. You know, he ain't got time for all that shit.
Let's get straight down to the fucking.
Professor Goddard revealed last week that he had quit the adult film business in January because it became too much. It's just too much pussy, man. I tell you, it was just, had to align my energies.
Yeah, I take care. I start taking them drugs.
A statement released by my bosses today says Professor Nick Goddard has resigned from his position at the university with effect April 1st, 2016. Don't resign on April Fool's Day. Now nobody will believe you.
No, Nicole, he's coming back.
Right. Did he show up Monday? His teaching and supervision duties will be undertaken by other colleagues between now and April 1st. So I'm assuming they'll have Mr. Marcus come in, teach a couple classes.
Oh, no.
Wesley Pipes.
No.
Turn the Shilovich to page 12 and make it nasty.
Let me show you how to fuck with your white socks on. What? I did not come here for this. Let me show you how to talk nasty to him. Turn your cap to the back. That's how they know you're serious. What? I'm here for chemical engineer. What is happening in this class today?
Professor Goddard married in 1981, a few years after graduating Oxford, the son of a clerk at the old Ministry of Labor, which became the Department of Employment. He had three children with his wife, Christina. The couple were together for 25 years until they separated in 2006. His family was apparently unaware of his other job, which involved him having sex with dozens of women, often wearing only a gold watch. He is believed to have started his second career following a divorce. Professor Goddard appeared in a number of academic videos on the university's website and has published scores of scientific papers during his career.
Got my gold watch in my gold chain in my
gold wrapper on my condom.
Right.
He is the lead tutor on three courses, having taught chemical engineering for nearly 25 years. Professor Goddard said he didn't get paid much during his stint as an adult movie star, but he did get travel expenses. They was flying this nigga out. Guess the race of Mr. Nick Goddard, old Nick, what they call him. Check the chat room. Perhaps he can get a job at Ball State. Nothing, Professor White.
Oh,
sounds like old bald white freak. Old Nick is slang for the white devil. Old Nick, little dick, white. Big dick Nick is white. Old Nick sound like an old white man porn name. Discovered when he kept saying Bueller when coming. Oh. White for sure. The correct answer is white. Brown chicken, brown cow.
Yes.
I see you, old Nick. Hey, man, that's better than Tinder. You know, he was like, if I can't get on Tinder, I can get on these young Tinders through the porn game. They was flying his old ass out to be male talent too.
So apparently he's doing something right.
Hey, that's somebody fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whose, but I ain't judging. Look, y'all like to see these old men getting these 19-year-old Russian ladies. That is your business in the privacy of your own home. Old Nick might be y'all might be now. I know I'm gonna be Google searching old Nick now. I gotta see the action. I'm curious, what is old Nick teaching these young girls besides chemical engineering?
I don't know. Chemical engineer on this dick. What the hell is happening here?
And you just got an A for anal.
Yeah, you did.
A 22-year-old girl working in a showroom at a municipal complex was seriously injured when a youth who claimed to be her lover attacked her with a sword on Saturday.
Oh.
Yep. Nearby shopkeepers rushed to the spot after hearing her cries and rushed her to the district LNJP Narain Hospital in a serious condition, from where she was referred to PGIMER, I don't know how you pronounce that, at Chandigarh. The accused was nabbed immediately by the shopkeepers and arrested. According to police, Vishal alias Rinku, a resident of Bishangar, near here attacked the girl on her head with the sword when she was coming back from the roof of the complex along with a fellow woman employee. She was working at the showroom for last 1.5 years while Vishal was employed at another nearby showroom for the last 3 years. Police said the duo had been seeing each other for the last year, and the accused reportedly got annoyed with the girl a few days back over some issue, they said. So of course he did what all normal reasonable people do. You hit them over their head with a sword, because that's okay. A pub manager was stabbed in the stomach by a sword-wielding attacker. Unhappy with his mistress's working conditions, Ko-A Chui confronted her pub manager. Then armed with a Japanese samurai sword, Ko stabbed the manager. So he did this one to protect his woman's pride, her honor. I don't like these working conditions. I'm about to stab you in the stomach for making my girl work too hard. I'm sure that won't get her fired.
Right.
By the time he was done, Mr. Chia Kuk Soon, small intestine was sticking out of his stomach.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It took Mr. Chia a month to heal, but up to today, he still feels pain when he exerts himself. Mr. Chia was at the state court yesterday to testify against his 51-year-old assailant. 51? Way too old for this shit. Who is on trial for voluntarily causing grievous hurt to him. Cole, who has been jailed 45 months in March for 13 other offenses. Mr. Chire, 36, told the court he suffered 2 slash wounds on his left forearm during the attack. He was rushed to the operating theater 1/2 hour after seeing a doctor at the hospital and was given 21 days medical leave. Cole's lawyer, Mr. Palaniapan, okay, Sundaraja Raj, there you go, close enough. And Mr. Chu C. Sin, of course Mr. Chu C. Sin, obviously, yesterday argued that Mr. Chire's injury was not so serious. They are, what, that's your defense? Hey, it's just a little bit of intestine spoken to a stomach, really? Are we gonna make a big deal out of that, your honor? They also disputed that Cole had caused the slash wounds. Well, you should leave with that. To his left arm. So that's not even to his stomach. He might have cut his stomach open, but not his left arm. Come on, Your Honor.
Not the arm.
Clearly, we need a mistrial. Detective Public Prosecutor Cheryl Janet George said Cole had a Vietnamese girlfriend, Miss Tran Thi Co Vinh, who worked as a performer at a pub in Jalen Bazaar. Cole told authorities she had complained to him about being mistreated by some customers who had smashed cake on her face. Oh, so he was mad. She also claimed that her manager had bullied her. On November 28th last year, Cole went to the pub with a large box containing a 57-centimeter sword with a 35-centimeter blade. A staff member spotted Cole with the box and informed Mr. Char as well as the manager of the head office that owned the pub. Mr. Chi went up to Cole and served him dinner to appease him. It's like, oh, please eat this dinner and forget that we bullied your girl and smashed cake in her face.
It don't work like that, dog.
When he finished eating, he opened the box, took out the sword, and tied it to his hand using a piece of nylon string.
Oh.
And he then told Mr. Chi, walk off. If not, I will slash you. Damn, this is like some Samurai Champloo shit.
I do.
Right? Remember that episode where that girl was working in the prostitute house?
Mm-hmm.
I think Jen had tried to fight them people. Closed circuit television footage of the stabbing was shown in the court. Cole was seen with the sword drawn entering the room where Mr. Chire was seated. He approached Mr. Chire, who tried to shield himself using his hands as well as the table. A scuffle followed and Cole stabbed Mr. Chire once with the sword. The confrontation lasted about 20 seconds when Cole walked off with the bloody sword. Yesterday, Mr. Chire rolled up his sleeves to reveal 2 scars on his left forearm. One of the scars appeared over at least half of his inner forearm. He told the court that he suffered the injuries when he used his left arm to defend himself against Cole. He said he returned to work after his medical leave ended in December 18. Dr. Lung Se-Han, who attended Mr. Shire when he was taken to Tan Tock Sing Hospital, also took the stand yesterday. He said Mr. Shire had required immediate surgery then, and even though he appeared alert and his vitals were normal, this was because Mr. Shire's small intestine was sticking out of his body and could dry up, become damaged, or become infected, which could cause death.
Oh, my.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like that's what would happen. Mr. Long also noted that the wounds on Mr. Chire's arms are caused by a sharp object, even though he could not ascertain if they were caused by the sword, which was shown to him. So, yep. If you got a girl and you got a sword, you know, it's not up to you to take the law into your own hands, guys, okay?
No.
We don't need any more Elon James. Hopefully, now that he has that. Congratulations to him and Emily on the baby. Now that they had a baby, I'm assuming he will get rid of the swords. All right. Everybody hit him up on Twitter at Elon James and say, now that you have a baby, it's time to let the swords go. Okay. Tell him I told you to say it. It's fine. I don't mind. Y'all, we need to collectively help that man to let go of those swords. We don't need the swords around that baby. Mm-mm. You know, house look like the arrow cave, swords, arrows and bows and shit all around that child. Child's got enough problems as it is. Don't need that child all around a bunch of sharp objects and stuff. You know, he probably won't even begin training the kid till it's way too late. Child gonna watch her dad try to threaten contractors and stuff. It's not a good environment, is what I'm saying. All right, guys, talk to y'all tomorrow. Till then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.